Hey friends, I just got back from a tennis lesson and I decided to turn on the mic and record. So this is going to be another raw riff on parenting. Welcome to I'm a Person, You're a Person. I'm your host, Nick Strack, relational parenting coach and mischief maker extraordinaire. This show is for anyone who wants to expand their understandings of responsibility and relating, particularly in parent-child relationships. The relationships I'll refer to the most often on this show are the ones I have with myself, hi, hello, with my 5-year-old kiddo, Unicorn,
hello,
and with my partner of over 13 years, Eric.
Oh, hello.
Alrighty, on with the show. Hey. All right, y'all. So I just got back from a tennis lesson, which ended up being a private lesson because nobody else showed up. And while I was practicing my serve, which was the entire time, I got to just talk to my coach about his life and his marriage and his relationships with his two teenage kids. And I'm just feeling super jazzed about the conversation that we had. And I had some thoughts pop up as I was talking to him that I wanted to come onto my podcast and share with y'all in case there are things that you may also resonate with, or I don't know. I'm coming here to share them. So one of the things that we talked about is, and I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast before, but I have a no for parenting with a united front. So I put united front in double quotes. And I consider parenting with a united front to be when parents try to, if it's a two-parent home or however many, more than one parent, two or more parents, try to address their children in a way where the parents are, quote, on the same page, end quote, where they try to present a united front. Like, hey, yeah, we both definitely agree on this and we have the same beliefs and opinions about this, and so here we are together, presenting you this united front. And my no for this is rooted in my belief that a united front is basically just code for squash your difference. Because it is so rare that two people will actually, quote, be on the same page, end quote. I don't even know if that's a real thing. About different situations, circumstances, consequences, conditions, etc. And that when two people try to come together and pretend like they agree on something, usually one or both people are squashing their difference in order to present this united front. So then what is the child learning? The child learns that two people can have agreement on something and that they don't have their own different opinions or beliefs on it. And what are the grown-ups up to? Either one or both of them or more, however many parents there are squashing their difference in order to present this united front. So then this kid doesn't have the opportunity to see what it's like for grown-ups to have difference with each other and to relate around it live in real time in front of the kids, right? Like this sweet teacher of mine was like, wait, am I allowed to disagree with her in front of my kids? And I was like, allowed. I love that word so much. And I think that it is so indicative of what a lot of people think when it comes to parenting, because it's like, don't disagree in front of your kids, right? Don't have fights in front of your kids. And like, there are all these rules, but have you taken the time to really look underneath what the rule is about and who does it serve? And what is the intent? Like, to what end do you not fight in front of your kids? What is that about? And so I just really want to encourage y'all to consider, if you have this rule that you're supposed to present a united front with your co-parents in front of your child, what is that about? What are you up to when you do that? What kinds of opportunities for growth and development are you stunting for both yourself and for your child? Okay, so that's the united front thing. United front equals squash your difference parenting. And then there was this other part in there where he was telling me that what he most wants for his kids is for them to be happy. And this one I know I talked about on my last parenting riff, but I just want to come back to it again because I think I'm a little more honed in how I describe it. or how I share like what I have around it, because he was like, I just want my kids to be happy. And I was like, yes, and your kids are not always going to be happy. So what would it be like for you to consider what kind of a resource you can be for them so that they can take care of themselves effectively in all states of emotion? Because happiness is fleeting, right? And so if they're always seeking happiness, then they're getting on that hamster wheel of happy is good and sad is bad. And they're setting themselves up for probably like a harder time in life if they're only ever seeking happiness versus seeking to experience the fullness of life and being equipped and prepared to navigate the fullness of life, because they will experience sadness, they will experience grief, they will experience hardship and disappointment and heartbreak and frustration and all of those things, along with all of the other things they may experience, which are considered more like positive emotions, like joyful and excitement and satisfaction and pleasure and stuff like that. So on that front, the whole, I'm remembering that in the last riff that I did, I was like, happy and healthy, happy and healthy. People are always talking about happy and healthy. And I just want to remind y'all to consider what happens when your child is not happy, and what happens when your child is not healthy, and how are you going to be a resource for them to be able to take care of themselves in all of the fullness of life, not just when they're happy and healthy, right? And like my sneaking suspicion that comes with wanting someone else's life and thinking that the goal of their life would be that they be happy and healthy points to perhaps an unexamined narrative or hierarchy about happiness and healthiness in the grown-up, right, in the parent, where if what I want for my kid is that they be happy and healthy, I probably have a hierarchy of happy is better and healthy is better. And so what is my capacity to be with myself when I'm not feeling happy? What is my capacity to be with myself when I'm not feeling healthy, and to take care of myself and to lean on resources and to ask for support, all that kind of stuff? So I loved that conversation so much. You might be able to hear in my voice that I'm super duper jazzed, and I just decided to come here, record this, and share with y'all about United Front equals squash your difference front, and happy and healthy equals an incomplete preparation for the fullness of life. All right, that's all I got for you, so I'm gonna pop off. Bye!